Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I would have dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Not much. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing excellent. And we have our other co-host on the line. So how are you doing today, Katrina?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
See, that was the standard David Meltzer answer. What Couture did there.
Yeah. He doesn't actually open up until you bring up like the Crockett territory or something like that. And then he goes
right.
From just being fine to explaining everything in the world to you.
Then I go from
right.
Being fine to being awesome.
Sure.
I get to explain, you know, my knowledge and stuff.
I guess you could say that in a way. But
the only time I really get to be awesome, so you had to go with it. So, there you go.
Yeah. Good call.
So anyway, the reason I decided for the topic is I got an idea from someone on my Facebook who brought it up that this weekend just happens to be the Super Bowl, which is one of the biggest sporting events in the world, and I'm sure Craig will be watching it, and I'm sure Katrina won't be watching it.
I have plans for Super Bowl Sunday.
Nice.
I'm going to be kicking it old school. I got 8 great hours of Andy Griffith. You remember that?
You're seriously going to watch Andy Griffith instead of the Super Bowl?
It's a joke. They used to do 8 great hours of Andy Griffith on TBS every Super Bowl Sunday.
I'll be darned.
Oh, that's right. They did, didn't they? So what are you going to be doing for Super Bowl since you're not going to watch the game?
Probably not going to be doing anything. I got some old NWA stuff I need to. I'm working on some DVDs. I got some NWA stuff in 1988 I'll probably work on. So,
by the way, Katrair, send me your address and I'm going to send you a great, big, huge box of videotapes.
Okay.
I got to get rid of them. I've got, you know, got what you want. No. Wrestling, son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
I thought you were pulling the Mexican seafood and sending a bunch of porn.
I saw that box of porn. That was an enormous, pardon the pun, box of porn.
Where did it go?
It was shoved, oddly enough, again, no pun intended, it was shoved in Brian's closet for a while. And I don't think it made it in the move. But it was a big box.
Probably still in there with the Benoit DVD. He's scared to touch both of them.
And the Benoit chair that is mine. But that's beside the point.
Hey, are you guys happen to be by your computers?
I am right in front of mine because I can't do the show without it.
Could you check your emails? Because I think
sure.
I sent y'all something. I want you to check it out.
You sent me news that we probably won't get to. That was before my topic was vetoed for the week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got something.
Banned, it says.
It's a picture.
It's not going to get a fucking virus, is it?
No.
All right, it's downloading.
Yep, here it comes.
2 seconds.
Do you want to save
what
or open this?
Open web content using this program on your computer. Allow.
Hmm. It's slowly coming. This is great radio, by the way. Opening emails that nobody can see.
It'll be worth.
You have been banned for the following reasons. Acting. What?
Duplicitous.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I guess acting one way when you act in two different ways when you're around different people or something. I don't know.
I apologize. That's my other phone.
What's the word again?
Duplicitous.
What? Okay, like Johnny Ace, what the fuck does that mean?
Like it's a gag. It's a gag. It's like, you know how Johnny Ace was like sucking up to people even though he's an asshole?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I like this because the date of the ban will never be lifted.
Well, it says will be lifted and then it says never. How many times have you been banned from there, by the way?
That's the second time. I don't know, apparently.
I won't even
do on their message board because people were bitching about one of the radio shows stuck this week and people were bitching about it and I kind of added on and got called a dick. And
was it ours?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
So now did they just ban you from the message board or did they just totally like cancel your account?
No, they didn't cancel it. They still want my money. They just don't want me to talk. I don't want to hear my.
You actually pay for more than one wrestling site?
I pay for this one. I pay for Insider and pay for the Torch.
Wow, that's too many.
I like to know what everybody thinks, and everybody's got different. You know, some are better at breaking news than others, and stuff like that.
Sure.
So.
All right. Well, it sucks that you got banned from the message board for probably nothing, but at the very least, you're still an active member, so you don't have to worry about giving your computer AIDS just by going to the website.
Yeah, I don't need to be bombarded by millions of ads.
Yeah.
I went to the main site. That almost knocked me over when the big F4W thing came up on my screen.
Yes, that is new.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of Performance and Insider, I have never been back to that website since probably the day before I joined Brian's site. Because there's absolutely no fucking need to after that, especially dealing with fucking 12 pop-ups per fucking page and spyware and everything else and knocking my computer so out of whack that it was just fucking freeze and I have to fucking restart the damn thing. I mean, it's just a paid member, that's the most god-awful site in the history of fucking the internet.
Well, they are good about reporting news and breaking stories and stuff. That's why I stay there. So I know that there are website wars. We're not supposed to say that, but sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to ask Craig what his plans for the Super Bowl were, because I'm sure he actually has plans.
Oh, I've got some friends coming over, and we're gonna watch the game. Simple as that. Probably eat some food. I'm not gonna eat as much as usual because I'm down 9 pounds. Thank you very much. And
You got like 400 to go.
Yes, because I weigh 409 pounds. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I wanted to ask though, you didn't contract a pneumonia last Sunday?
I'm sorry. Who got pneumonia?
Well, I saw an action shot of you trying to barbecue in the rain and looking like a big goof.
Yes, Somehow I got volunteered to run the grill, and it was pouring. So yeah, I got the meat cooked, and as Brian, by the way, stood inside the warm house with his camera eating, you know, snapping pictures of me on the outside cooking. So yeah,
cool.
It was a good time over at Vinny's. The Rumble was fine, I guess. Yeah, it was fine.
you'd have more fun calling it with me and Ed on the phone or something, probably.
Yeah, but I had to cook.
I know, I'm just saying. I don't even know that you had to cook. Jesus Christ.
No, you didn't have to cook. Just me. I found out that I'm going to be spending a lot of time with board members this year. Obviously, we're going down to Mania here in like less than 60 days and hanging with a lot of you fine people. And then I found out a certain black member of our board is actually coming up here in right around my birthday for a couple weeks. I don't know if I'm blowing his kayfabe, but he's going to be here a couple weeks. And
is he really black or he just looks black?
He's brown. Anyway.
Is it Thug Nigga?
He's coming up here to stay with me, and then he's going to stay with Brian. You okay? And that's, what are you doing? Stop this.
That's a joke. There's actually somebody on the board called Thug Nigga. I wasn't being racist. But his name.
No, it's not him.
Okay. I would hope not. He can't spell.
Yeah. So anyway, he's coming up here, and he's going to stay with me a few days, and then stay with Brian a few days, and then go back to Louisiana. There's your hint. And then
staying with Granny.
So he's going over there, and he's going to Canada, but yet he hasn't said anything about coming to Texas.
I didn't know that.
That's why he's a jerk.
Well, there is a board member that is actually coming to Texas right after WrestleMania, and that would be me.
Yeah, but. Where to see your daughter or something?
No, I'm going to Houston. Long story short, my wife is the worst hider of secrets ever, and Eddie Vedder is touring this spring.
Yeah, he's playing here in San Antonio.
Yeah, and he's also playing in Houston. So, because I belong to the Pearl Jam fan club, I was able to get a pair of tickets. And I checked out, my wife tried to get me either Houston or Las Vegas, and it came up Houston. So she tried to do this all covert, but what she didn't understand is that I get emails on my computer even if she deletes them on my iPad. So I got all these emails. I didn't, you know, mean to find out, but about a week after I get back from, or 2 weeks after I get back from Mania, I'll be flying down to Houston and staying with the Clearys for a few days. And Matt and I are going to go see Eddie Vedder, and that's my 40th birthday present.
Well, I'm sure they're going to be here like within a day or two after that, so why don't you get a two-step and come down.
We'll smoke some weed,
and then we'll go to the concert and rock out.
I'm halfway down with that. But, yeah, I would love to hit more than the one show because I usually do, you know, four or so. But this time just worked out that I can only do the one. So I'll be down
there. You know, I'm only 4 hours away. I could have drove up there to watch the concert.
Yeah, well.
Get
a hold of Matt and see if he can come down and watch UFC.
Tell your wife to friend me on Facebook. She hasn't done it yet. And it's been a couple of days. And tell her I'm a nice person.
My wife?
Yeah.
Really? I don't know if I'm down for this.
I just wanted more pictures so I could Photoshop, like, pictures of Rick Martel and Tom Zanka Strike Force on T-shirts.
I see.
You were.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and get to our topic, since it is a Super Bowl.
Granny, don't let Rodney stay with her?
I don't know. I don't see why
it's worth to have silverware, isn't it?
I would say that she probably doesn't have the room, and Brian does, you know, seeing as they have no children except for cats. But,
and
you know, that's just my guess.
To fix the clock on her VCR or something. I bet.
Yes.
Blinking
yeah,
12 right now. Probably been doing that for 20 years.
Doesn't Vinny semi live there now, and also one of her sisters pretty much semi lives there?
I honestly have no idea. I don't know.
Anyway, can we finally get
sorry
to our topic here? You know,
yes, let's please.
We're going to talk about folk football players who became pro wrestlers or did something involving pro wrestling.
I
so,
hate football.
Yeah, everyone knows you hate football. Everyone knows
football
you
is a sport never that's played by people with daddy issues.
Okay. As opposed
always
to pro wrestlers?
Daddy. That's the only reason they play.
As opposed to pro wrestlers? Are you serious?
Well, pro wrestling's cool, though.
Oh, I see.
And they're real athletes, so.
Oh.
Football's cool if you like it, you know. I mean,
plus, all
you know.
Football players on steroids and stuff. Not shit like that in wrestling.
Again, never mind. It's really not worth the fight.
And the football players, the NFL is, well, we can't do chair shots of the head no more. They've opened this whole thing wide open. About the concussion.
Yeah.
Can't hit nobody.
That is true.
Ruined it for everybody.
That is true, and it's also pussified the game because, goddamn, they call some bullshit like suspensions and penalties off of, like, just good old hits. But anyway, we can debate football at a later date. But let's talk about pro wrestlers. There's plenty of famous ones, but there's actually never really been too many that actually had a big careers in pro football. A lot of them were either maybe they were on the practice team, or maybe they played like a year, or some of them played in that other league. Like Dr. Death played in like Herschel Walker played in that league. What the hell is that league, Craig?
The CFL.
Not the CFL, the one that you...
Oh, the USFL.
The USFL, yes. And also some of them that played in the Canadian League, and a lot of awesome college players.
Sure.
I guess we could start with the most famous ones, and to me, those mainly it comes down to two as far as the guys who had long careers, and I really don't even know all that much about them, but probably the most famous, or the one who had the most success in both sports would be Bronco Nagurski, who is a Hall of Fame football player and also a former world champion, even defeating Luke Dez for one of his world championships. So he was probably the standard bearer, and I'm sure he made more money as a wrestler than he did when he was a pro football player. In fact, I think he actually quit football because of that. But do you have any thoughts on Bronco Nagurski, Craig?
Seeing as how I have two things. I'm on his Wikipedia page, number one. He was born November 3rd, 1908, and he was born in Rainy River, Ontario.
So he did.
And, he passed away January 7th of 1990, the year I graduated. And the only thing I know about Bronco is my grandfather actually watched him wrestle. And as I got, be honest, bigger and bigger as a kid, he couldn't ever remember my name because, well, he's my grandfather. So my nickname growing up was Bronco.
Huh. Wow. That's actually true.
So, yeah, that's all I really know about him.
Yeah. Katrina, do you have any thoughts on Bronco McGurkey?
No, I don't. Next person.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on this because the next person would be, I can't say he was, like a superstar as far as being a professional football player, but he's probably the most famous, had a cult following, and played for many teams, including the Jets. And it's supposed to be Vince McMahon Sr.'s favorite football player, or maybe it was a junior. So it's one of them favorite football player, and that would be Chief Wahoo McDaniel, who had an awesome gimmick. Even back then when he played in whatever years he played, which was a long time ago, he had the gimmick where he would make a tackle, the announcer would say, tackled by who? And then the whole crowd, of course, would scream, wahoo. So, you know, he was pretty over with the crowd.
It is a cool fucking name to remember, too. So, wahoo.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of famous, you know, Native American, who speaks to the character, wrestlers. And to me, you know, you can say what you want about Jack Briscoe, but to me, the best Indian or Native American pro wrestler ever is Wahoo McDaniel. I mean, he was even when he was an old man, when he started, he was still a badass and just would just beat the crap out of people. And, you know.
With the Briscoes being a Native Americans, was that ever really pushed? Because I didn't hear that until, like, later years.
They was acknowledged, but they weren't pushed because they weren't doing the chief gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say both are equally as famous, I think, Wahoo and Jack Briscoe. So.
Wahoo would be more famous, just because Wahoo's also, like, there's, like, a lot of famous stories. Like, there's a story, okay, he went to college with Bill Watts, if I'm not mistaken. And there's, like, one thing where they read about some guy who ran from one town to another town, so Wahoo decided to run from one town to the other town and would do shit like that. And then, like, one time he decided he was going to drink a can of motor oil, and he chugged a can of motor oil and then got, you know, sick and I think almost died or something. But he was real crazy about doing shit like that. Towards his later years, he would lose a lot of money to Lee Trevino, or the Chichi Rodriguez, one of them playing golf. And he would just keep betting against a legendary golf player, but he just still had it in his mind he could win, but never did. And he's also, when he was a member of the Jets, I think he's also famous for picking up a girl and bringing her back to his apartment or hotel and then finding out that it wasn't a girl, that it was a guy, and that he beat the shit out of the guy and threw her down the steps.
I heard a story one time about, I think it was when he was a wrestler, he was in a bar or something. He's married, but he's hitting on some woman, and his wife came in and seen him, and she knocked him out, and he fell over a bar stool.
It says here he played for the Jets in 64 and the Miami Dolphins in 66, and he was also traded to the San Diego Chargers, but he was never played. He never played for San Diego as he started pro wrestling full time. I just remember, like, some of his strap matches when I was younger, because all we got was a little bit of NWA up here, but saw a few of his strap matches and thought he was pretty awesome. I mean, what I saw of him, to be honest. Also says, Dory Funk trained this man.
What were you going to say?
Senior or junior?
I'm sure it was senior. But anyway, to Wahoo was like, I'm sure when you did see him, I'm sure he was already, you know, older. And he could still go. I mean, like the last couple of years, he you know, it finally caught up with him and stuff. But, I mean, I remember him from the late 70s, where he still looked like he was older, but, man, he could go. I mean, he did that gimmick perfectly. I mean, his war dance, I mean, it sounds like goofy today and kind of stupid to think somebody was got over doing like a stupid war dance, but when Wahoo did the war dance, I mean, people just went crazy because they knew that he was about to start chopping the shit out of the guy and just beat the living hell out of him. And I got to see him do it to Telly. I only wish I could have seen him do it to a young Ric Flair. You know, I only saw some older matches.
Totally for real.
I wish I could have seen some young ones.
He's probably doing it totally for real.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was.
I remember the famous story I heard about Wahoo was, I think maybe y'all have read this. It was like in 86. It's like the Bash in Philadelphia. And he bladed himself, and his blade got stuck in his scar tissue in his forehead. And, like, the commission was, like, outraged, and they banned blood because of that.
It's also his goddamn fault that Terry Von Erich didn't win the AWA World title and unify it with the World Class title.
How so?
Because there was so much blood in the match that Stanley Blackburn said there's so much blood, we got to protect the wrestlers.
Well, and they were in two different cities.
To stop the match with Terry Von Erich.
They were in two different cities. I don't think the commission from Philadelphia affected Chicago commission.
Had a crazy
no, I'm not
there.
Saying because of that. I'm saying during that super.
He fought Manny Fernandez and they had a big bloodbath. Okay.
Yeah, cool. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about.
Was maybe Slamboree 95 against Big Murdoch? Wasn't he in one of those shows? Was it the one where they did it in black and white? Like your old TVs in the 60s or some shit like that? And Bobina said, for those of you tuning in, this is how they saw it, watch wrestling back in the 60s. And she said, for those of you with the 1974 TV, well, no sense to even bother talking to you. So, just never mind. And I remember they did the angle with Tatanka where IRS, like, took the – remember when Wahoo gave, like, Tatanka the headdress and then IRS, like, wore it up or something like that? I think it was in
94. Yeah. I wish I had been one of the last things I saw him do, actually.
With, like, the feud where they had – Greg Valentine had the shirt that said, I broke Wahoo's leg. That he always wore. I wish I had seen some of that stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if they got any of that in the library. I mean, hopefully if this network ever does happen, maybe they will get lucky and get to see some stuff like that.
If that's Mid-Atlantic stuff.
Yeah.
The network is already happening. It's on YouTube, let's be honest.
Well,
and that's probably where it's going to stay.
It might, but we'll see what happens. But we'll go ahead and move to another wrestler. And this wrestler is... was actually never really, well, I think he was a college player, but somehow this guy got the reputation for not only being a professional football player, but being a Super Bowl winning football player. And that is Manny Fernandez, who for many years, a lot of people, including myself, thought that when I saw those old NFL like TV specials, and they were talking about, oh, they gave the ball to Manny Fernandez. I'm like, holy shit, I just saw him wrestle last week. And I guess he finally admitted it in later years that somehow someone, I think he said somebody else kind of started that rumor or whatever, but I remember that. But yeah,
somebody
Manny
else
Fernandez,
rumor where he said he was in Vietnam and he wasn't.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I love them. They last so well.
I actually got to upset Manny Fernandez at an indie show here. I was probably, I would say, a sophomore in high school. And I saw him. Manny was on the show, and he was hanging out, like, in between the bleachers. There, you know, it wasn't a full. It was actually at a Navy base. One of my buddies got me on the base to see the show and walked by, and I was, like, looking at Manny, and I was like, is that Manny Fernandez? And he finally looks at me, and he goes, what are you looking at, kid? And I go, well, you. And then he, like, got this look in his eye, and he threw down his soft drink and took two steps forward towards me, and I honestly ran.
Well, he's not the best person to eyeball, Craig.
Well, I didn't know exactly who it was because I was like, is that Manny? You know, and I was trying to figure it out. And, yeah, he was raging.
I always liked Manny. I probably saw more of him when he was younger in San Antonio. I saw him in the NWA. He's always a very good worker, in my opinion.
Like, when I first started watching wrestling, he was here in San Antonio. I mean, and he was always having, like, bloodbaths with, like, the Sheepherders or, like, Telly or Bobby Jaggers. And he's another one of those guys, like Abdullah and Cologne that we talked about the other week, where he's just, it's just a mess up there. from all the blading and stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
And one thing that I really liked about him is he had something that was very different, and that's when he was making his comeback. He threw great punches. I mean, he threw really great punches and was a great brawler, but his thing that was really unique was he would throw a backhand.
Yeah.
It was like a karate move.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it badass. He was really good at it, and it was something different and exciting to go with the fact that he was very, when he was making his comeback, I mean, he was a fiery, radiant, and he was like a raging bull. He was, you know, you got into him because he made it look like he was, you know, fighting for his life there and stuff.
I really like his tag team with Rick Rude in 86. I thought they were a very good team.
Yeah.
It says he played football at West Texas State University, and he played professionally in the NFL for 3 years and doesn't give anything else. So it doesn't look like he was a Super Bowl champion by any means.
Has West Texas State produced the most professional wrestlers of any college?
Yeah, I was actually just about to bring that up. So let's talk about,
yeah.
West Texas State it's not a big school. It's actually like a kind of a small school, but it has a reputation for producing the most wrestlers out of the school. And in fact, I was like, there was one that I was asking on Facebook. Like even that jerk Shimp sent me a list of people who. He found out that went, but I'm still questioning one of the guys and stuff. But basically, just to break it down to go through the list.
Hold on. And Mike sent you the list, and it says, check your PMs, chump. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's why he's a jerk. Anyway, the list is Kelly Blanchard, Tito Santana, Dory and Terry Funk, Manny Fernandez. It says John Ayers, but not too sure who that is.
He was the UWF commissioner,
Yeah, that's what he put on here, but I really don't remember him for some reason.
He was also right after when Ric Flair and Luger first had their match in Baltimore, in '88. They brought him in afterwards for a guest referee. The worst person you've ever heard on the microphone. My God. Oh, my
God.
I
don't remember him. But then we also have Bruiser Brody, Dan Hansen, Ted DiBiase, Barry Windham, Dusty Rhodes, and I could have swore I heard this on the Wrestling Gold. Maybe you can remember, Couture, but didn't they say Kelly Kaminsky went to West Texas State also?
I'm not sure.
Okay, there's a big thing by Kelly Kaminsky. I'm not too sure. I could have swore I heard it on the Wrestling Gold, but I was high when I watched those DVDs.
You said Tito Santana?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's an interesting one. Okay, you know, every year the West Texas would have the alumni game, you know, when the guys come back and play. And Dick Murdoch, even though he never went there, always played in the alumni game.
I guess he just assumed since, you know, Dusty and everyone else in that time period, you know, went there.
And who's going to ask Dick Murdoch to leave?
Right? No shit. He's probably the most fun guy there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd even go as far as say Texas has maybe put out the best professional wrestlers there's ever been, in my opinion.
I can't really argue with that, to be honest.
I mean,
the only place that would be kind of close in the U.S. would be, Minnesota?
Florida.
Yeah.
And then you can make a case for Canada.
Yeah.
Not Florida.
I would say Texas.
I mean, just Steve Austin, biggest star of all time. Shawn Michaels, another one.
Undertaker.
Dusty Rhodes. I mean, so many.
Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Mark Henry, Devon Eric, the Funk. The Guerreros, just go on and on.
Yeah.
Mulligans.
Wyndham.
Right.
Manny Fernandez.
Anyway. Yeah, Manny Fernandez. But I guess we'll slowly go down the list, and we'll talk about, here's one that I'm sure Craig knows a whole lot about. Why don't you talk about Stan Hansen, Craig?
Why do you do that to me?
Because I know you have to type in Stan Hansen in Wikipedia, and it takes you a few seconds. So.
Yeah, Stan Hansen was born.
I hope he was born.
Pretty sure. December 27th of 1915. Wait a minute. This is wrong. Stan Hansen. You talk about Stan Hansen.
I'll let you talk about Stan Hansen.
He likes pure tobacco.
Yeah,
he did chew a lot of tobacco, that's for damn sure. I don't know if I've seen any other wrestlers besides maybe close to maybe Jay Briscoe that has a fucking.
He ran over the AWA title belt with his truck and sent it back to Vern Gagne.
That's funny.
I always wouldn't have wanted to be like one of the guys interviewing him because he'd always take a swipe at you with his hat or just knock the shit out of you for no reason.
I know, and then, like, supposedly the legend is that he's blind, but he never wore his glasses, so, you know, supposedly he was, you know, patailing people left and right back in the day. So he fit in Japan, but when I first started, the first time I saw Hansen would be in Georgia where he was teaming with Ole Anderson, and then he went face from there, and he's the guy who always, to me, looked the same. I mean, he might have got like a little older towards the end, but he always was just one big dude. But he could still move, and just he was like a cartoon character, just the way he was, the way he talked and did his interviews.
Probably, if not one of the most famous gaijin wrestlers in Japan, I'd say of the Americans over there,
him and Brody.
Yeah.
And Brody has to be the most famous of all time.
Yep.
Are you ready, Craig?
I'll give him a little bit over Brody because Brody passed away, so Stan was there a lot.
Dude, he does not have a wiki page at all.
Well, that's disgraceful.
I'm telling you.
No shit, Stan Hansen doesn't have a wiki page. That's crazy.
There we go. I think I found
my favorite Stan Hansen moment, and it's one somebody's probably going to roll their eyes at, is when he chased Missy Hyatt out of the locker room in his boxer shorts, like one of the WCW pay-per-views.
Also from Texas, by the way.
Jim Ross said he just got run out by Stan Hansen in the world's biggest boxer shorts.
I remember that. That was fucking awesome. But he never came out at it, but he was the cause and reason for some of the most awesome skits of all time in pro wrestling. And that's when the Desperados were looking for him, and it was basically, who was it? It was Dutch, Black Bart, and...
Dead Eye D.
Was that Moondog?
Moondog Rex. they set up this whole Western town to shoot these horrible, horrible things. And
they're
they
awesome.
Had a thing where Dead Eye Dick was cheating at cards, and somebody challenged him to draw or a duel or something. I was so stupid; it never went anywhere.
But they were looking for Stan Hansen. They never said why, but that's who they were looking for. Was Stan Hansen.
I said, you can't tell me Stan Hansen is going to be involved with this motley crew of people right here.
He was in No Holds Barred.
That's the first place I saw him, actually. Like, I mean, read about him in the magazines, obviously, but that's the first place I actually, got to see some film of him.
It says, Hansen is married to his wife, Yumi, and had two sons. His older son, Shaver, played baseball at Baylor University before being drafted by the Seattle Mariners. Crazy.
Wow.
That's the bad thing about Japan. They rob you of some of your best wrestlers. It should have been here in the United States a little bit longer.
If you can make the money there,
I'm not complaining that they win. I'm just saying I would like to see more of them, like in the States. You know.
Well, you can say that about wrestlers from the past. I mean, I could give or take ever seeing Prince Albert again. To be honest with you.
See who?
I mean. Prince, like one of their biggest Americans that are down there now that's full time is like Prince Albert. Like, you got Prince Albert and MVP. It's not like it's when it was Brody and Hansen and Terry Gordy. Yeah. back then, you know, that's when they had some badass Americans, you know, but now they don't, you know, they're not robbing anyone anymore, really.
Yeah. I'm surprised Albert never come back to WWF.
Why would he?
Well, I mean, I think he's probably improved a hell of a lot more, and they always
sure.
Big guys on, you know, I'm surprised they didn't try to bring him back or something.
So it's got the Wrestling Observer Awards down here. It says a 5-star match in 84, him and Bruiser Brody versus Dory and Terry Funk on December 8th of 84, a 5-star match on July 29th of 1993 with Kento Kobashi, Tag Team of the Year with Ole Anderson in 1982, and Best Brawler in 1985 and also 1990.
Hmm. They actually should have named it, like, the Bruiser Brody Memorial Award. Like, they should have done it, like, the Bruiser Brody Stan Hansen Award for Best Brawler. Had named it for both those guys. My opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I mean, it wouldn't bother me if they did that.
I think the biggest
two greatest brawlers of all time, but I'm sure the years that he didn't win, Brody won.
The biggest match that never happened, it probably would have been, like, one of the biggest tag team matches ever in Japan, would have been Brody and Hansen against the Road Warriors. They never got that put together. I know they want to do it at some point, but it could be nobody wants to do the job for anybody else. So they never put that match together.
Yeah, no shit. That'd be crazy. Anything else on Stan Hansen before we move on, Craig?
Nothing totally interesting.
I thought
to be honest
he had that. I saw an awesome match he had with Hulk Hogan at the Egg Dome, like in
99. No, that's wrong. I'm kidding.
No, if not.
Hmm?
How dare you? Who are you to question?
Yeah,
what
do you remember about a month ago I confused him with Dick Murdoch? With
yeah.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, he's also famous for almost breaking Bruno Sammartino's neck. And he did it like on a slam, but I guess the legend is that he did it with a lariat.
Yeah, that's what they played it up as that. I guess did he do it on a slam? Did he just like slam him right on top of his head or something?
It was something like that. It wasn't like something major or crazy. It was a simple move.
I wonder if it looked like that when that guy in like Japan or whatever did that to Kurt Angle a couple years ago. I saw the video of that. I don't know how Kurt Angle survived that. Just kind of like dumped him right down on his head.
Hmm.
I don't even remember that. But we'll go to another... Another ones from West Texas State here, and that is Dusty Rhodes. And I guess a lot of people wouldn't actually think seeing Dusty Rhodes would think that he was actually at one time in good enough shape to be a football player.
He probably was back then.
Well, I've seen some matches of him and Dick Murdoch, and he was in a lot, you know, I mean, we're talking about 50, 60, 70 pounds lighter. You know, he was still had a that kind of like a like a beer belly, but it was a big, big difference.
Like guys like Vader, I can look at him and say and believe he's a former football player. You know.
Hmm.
Now, like I look at Tully Blanchard and it's just, he's a former football player.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
He had a nickname when he first came in to NWA. It was like Stardust. Is that right?
Yeah, that was one of his nicknames. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I first saw him wrestling. When it was like way early on when he came in. You guys obviously saw him before that, but yeah, that's like some of the first stuff I saw was they were actually still calling him Stardust, and he could move for a big dude. He could move.
You know, in later years, I thought he got a bad rap as far as working the ring. I didn't think he was that bad.
No, he's real good. And his work in the ring is real good, but, you know, if he didn't have all that charisma, he would have been nothing.
Oh, plus he had perfect guys to work with, too.
Oh, sure.
And this cardio was a lot better than someone normally of that size, too. I mean... Because he'd still be moving around at the 60-minute matches stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I got to see him and Jerry Lawler have a match where they literally they literally did nothing. I mean, Lawler, you know, pranced around the ring and insulted fans, and you know, I remember him calling out one girl. He says, "Hey, I don't come to the strip club and bother you when you were working." Just awesome. They didn't do a thing. They threw some punches. You know, there was a mule kick, and Dusty went down, and there was a little bit of a schmoz. The next thing you know, Dusty hits elbow, and it's all over. And it
that's
was
how you know
greatest.
What a worker, how good a worker really is when they don't really have to do anything. And you just go out there.
He literally did less than nothing. It was amazing. It was like a 25-minute match, and they didn't do a thing, and I was thoroughly entertained the whole time.
I mean, it's not like Larry Zbyszko, who does nothing for 5 minutes and bores the shit out of you. I mean, he's got, you know, they could work.
It's like on the Wrestling Gold DVDs, you'll hear Jim Cornette and Dave talk about how you're going to watch one of the worst matches of all time, and it's Jerry Lawler against Bruiser Bob Sweetcamp. And they go on about how horrible this match is, and they have this match, and they don't make contact for like 8 minutes, and there's maybe two little tiny bumps at the in the match, and basically nothing happens. And I think Lawler ends up getting the win or something, but then Sweetcamp kicks him and hits the power driver, and then the place just goes absolutely fucking ape shit. And I've always kind of questioned, if it's like such a horrible match, why were the people going so crazy?
Yeah.
Mm.
As long as the people are into it, I mean, it don't really matter what's going on out there. So.
Yeah.
Hey, people are into John. A lot of people are like looking into John Cena. He ain't the greatest worker in the world. You know?
You don't say.
Yeah. But we'll do another West Texas State guy here, and that would be Ted DiBiase. And I guess you could probably say that Ted DiBiase and Roddy Piper are probably the two biggest superstars ever to never win a world title.
Yeah, two best wrestlers never to win a world title.
What about the $1 million championship?
I don't think there was
an
actual company.
Win it, he bought it.
All right, whatever.
That
was
awesome when you got the little thing. We went to the jewelry store every week.
Didn't he have a cape?
Yes, he was wearing a cape. He'd walk in and say, I'm here, the $1 million man is here.
And he threw back his cape. It was amazing.
Who wears a cape? Also, he just has the best laugh in professional wrestling history. I'll say that.
Right?
Yeah. But I would have been pissed off if I would have been a wrestler in the WWF at that time. Like, let's say someone who's like S.D. Jones or someone who's put his sweat and blood and hardly made any money, and then here comes Ted DiBiase and Vince is like, "Here, Ted, here's $40,000. Go spend it tonight at a restaurant. Make sure everyone sees you. Get a limo."
That's the best part about that gimmick. They gave him actual money to go out there and live the gimmick. That was
right.
Awesome.
Does his purchase of the WWE Championship belt from Andre count as him winning a title, or at least having a title?
I did see one title defense by him against Hulk Hogan. Well, no, it was a non-title match like the week after in Boston, and Hulk Hogan beat him. But he was like announced as the champion.
But and unlike Piper, who I don't think was ever scheduled to win the title. DiBiase was, and at a time when, you know, it actually meant something. I mean, he was supposed to be the NWA World Champion, but it never happened. He was supposed to be the WWF World Champion, but then it didn't happen. I mean, he had some good luck as far as getting, you know, all that money to go party, but he also had some bad luck as far as when it came to the world title.
I bet he hates the Honky Tonk Man.
Because,
You know, the Honky Tonk Man wouldn't do that job for Savage, and that's why they moved Savage and made him world champion. When DiBiase won the tournament.
That's right. Damn, Monkey Talk, man.
I put that as like one of the best gimmicks of all time in WWF. I mean, not on the level of Undertaker, but, you know, just like one of those gimmicks that nobody ever forgets.
You can't, I was going to say, you can't forget that. I mean, they gave Ted the $1 million belt, Ted Jr., and nobody remembers that. I mean, it's It's too bad because Ted's actually a really good worker, and he's got a good look, but he has none of the charisma his father had.
And
he's not even one step to the restaurant.
I mean, you're talking about one of the best, like, I don't, I guess you really can't say like, call him a big man, but I mean, he was one of the best wrestlers at his time for like a long time, you know, before he got to the WWF. I mean, you know, top, you know, one of the top workers in the business.
It was funny because Ted Jr. was like, I think when he came in WWF, he was like tabbed to be the breakout star of like the legacy group with Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes actually was the one that broke out.
Yeah, that's, it's funny. Like when he first came out, you know, because he kind of looked like a little bit like Randy Orton and stuff. And I remember one time having a conversation with Stevie J, and Stevie J just raving about Ted Jr. and he's going to be the world champion, and going on and on and on. And then I remember one time Bill Miller from the website came down, and we had lunch, and same thing. He just went on and on about how Ted DiBiase Jr. is going to be the next greatest thing ever, and so and so. It's like, I never saw it then. I mean, I thought he'd be okay, but I never saw anything more than him being just a poor version of Randy Orton.
Well, it also has something to do with the company he works for, you know,
yeah,
the way they push guys and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Yep. I forgot about this. He managed, or he was in a stable with the NWO. Oof.
Yeah. Because they were always, remember they were doing the talk, you know, because WWF did those spoofs on Turner, and they were always talking about Billionaire Ted, but then the real Billionaire Ted showed up, like on Nitro.
Yeah, he was like the money man for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't have to call him the Million Dollar Man. People know who the guy is. So,
sure.
It's easy way to get around it.
Yeah. But let's see. Do we want to talk about the Funks?
They were okay.
Yeah, they were fine.
Yeah. I never cared much
about Dory. Oh, go ahead, Katrina.
I was just going to say, I never cared much for Dory. He wasn't my type of wrestler.
Right.
I don't know, man. I see some matches where he was just like, he didn't have no, like, really personality or anything like that, but everything he did in the ring was fucking, like, $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, style.
He reminded me of Nick Bockwinkel. Him and Nick Bockwinkel were just so smooth with everything they did, you know.
It was just kind his style didn't appeal to me, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Although,
well,
know,
I mean, yeah,
it is kind of
a boring style to some people.
He had an awesome uppercut forearm. I always love that forearm.
And he mastered a hold to defeat Indians.
And he's like, talk about two brothers, like personality-wise, polar opposites, like characters that they were portraying. You got Junior, he's just kind of like this mild-mannered. Even though he's a heel, he just talks softly, and he doesn't really come off like a heel. And then you got Terry Funk, who's like this raving madman, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The most I saw Terry was in ECW, you know, who could forget him winning the ECW world title at Barely Legal, you know, doing the spot where he's got the ladder around his head and spinning around and you know, almost landing on his head after doing a moonsault off the ladder. His stuff in IWA, the King of the Death matches with Foley, some of the ugliest, most brutal matches I've ever seen. His barbed wire match with Sabu,
that was a mess.
That was probably one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. That was just unbelievable. But
he got to the point where I say, because somebody stop this. You know, I don't need to say any more of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear
you. They got so entangled in the barbed wire, they had to go to the finish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sabu. I remember hearing a story about one time they went to Detroit, and this is when Detroit was already dying, when the Sheik, you know, was at the very last days, and they weren't making any money. And then they brought in Dorian Terry, and they started to work a program. And the next thing you know, they do this giant house, and everybody was going to make money. And then the Sheik's son came and said, "Oh, my God, someone robbed the box office. They took all the money." So very, very suspicious of that, if there was actually a robbery that occurred, or if it was actually the Sheik and his son who did the robbing that night.
There's
go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, that's happened more than once. That happened on a couple of shows that I had been on. one I was on, and the other one, Caden ran the guy down. But, yeah.
Probably still one of the spots that probably maybe my favorite Terry Funk spot of all time, and it's not like a big spot or anything, but in the I Quit match at the Clash of Champions with Slayer at the table outside, and Slayer just launched him over the table. He slides down the table and hits his head on a chair that's just sitting there open. It's like one of the greatest time things I've ever seen in my life.
He was kind of like Mr. Perfect in a way. I mean, he didn't fly in the air, but he would do the most exaggerated kind of He would take bumps, but he didn't take Mr. Perfect bumps. He was just more like his arms waving and halfway in and out of the ring and he always seemed like he was out of his goddamn mind. And
he'd stumble out of the ring and then lean over the guardrail, and then he'd hit his head on the bottom of the guardrail and just pop back up. He was just crazy, man. Awesome.
I liked his.
And then
that
first retirement, the one of 5,422, the first one where he did it in Japan. I mean, that's a fucking awesome visual where you just see blood running down his mouth while he's saying thank you, never or ever, about wrestling again. And that was pretty awesome.
There was the ECW hosted show down in Texas. Where he wrestled Bret Hart. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah, the WrestleFest. That was when it was supposed to be his last match.
That's something more than that.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was in the stamp as a ref.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not booked on the show, guys. That match was awesome. If you haven't seen that, go out of your way to see it, and I'm talking to our listeners. That's a really awesome match.
I'll tell you what the greatest Terry Funk highlight is of all time, and people will probably disagree with me, and probably some people might even get mad at me, but who can forget, beyond the mat, he's having this long conversation, or he's just listening to a long conversation from Dennis Stamp about why he's not going to be on the show, and then he finally says, come on, be on the show, and then he starts to walk away, and he's walking all cool, and then he almost trips and wipes out, and
that's the funniest thing
I ever seen in my life.
Yeah, when he rolled his ankle basically, and he almost trips and falls, and this is right after you see the doctor telling him that he shouldn't be on his knees whatsoever because there's no cartilage there.
Told him he needed a new knee.
Yeah,
he's
and
off.
You see him,
he's off.
You see him walking a trip.
This is disabling to you.
you see him walking a trip, and you go ah.
If Mick Foley has trouble putting on his socks, I wonder what trouble Terry Funk has.
He doesn't wear them.
Okay.
Just goes without.
Flip flops all the way.
He gets frustrated trying to put them on his pocket.
Yeah. Right. I'll wear moccasins.
Now, I guess we could talk about Tito. We'll talk about Tito, and then we'll move on to some of the more recent.
He's greater than Lance Storm and deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame more.
Vance is awesome. He comes on the show all the time, but it's not even fucking close. I don't know what the fuck Brian's talking about. Lance Storm or Tito Santana, that's no offense, Lance, but that's a joke.
I'm going to reserve comment. I love Lance. I love Tito. Tito is actually the very first wrestling match I ever saw in my life. I was watching TV late one night and WWF came on and I said, I'm going to
you know, nobody introduced me to pro wrestling. Nobody said, hey, Craig, check this out. You know, I was watching TV late one night on a Saturday night, and I turned it on pro wrestling and saw Tito Santana and saw and heard our governor or the governator, no, not the governator, the governor of Minnesota call him, you know, call the move the Flying Burrito, and I was hooked. So
Tito had, like, Lance had been around for a while, but, I mean, did he actually ever really have any success in ECW until, like, the end when it was him and TJ? I mean, he was, like, opening
Well, he was tag team champion for a while there. I mean, him and King
For a little bit, but, I mean, it's not like he was one of the main players, and that's, like I said, that was towards the end with him and TJ. And then he had his nice little run in WCW, but that was very short. And then
and
in the WWE...
And it was the shittiest period ever for that company.
In the WWE, he had great matches, but, you know, he's either dancing or had a tripod in his pants. So it's not like he did anything of any actual note. I mean, yes, he was a shit champion. I mean, that's pretty awesome to be the first ever shit champion. But, you know, he didn't really have, like, good runs. Tito had an awesome run with Ivan Putski in the 70s. And then he had an awesome run as the Intercontinental Champion. And he was an awesome Intercontinental Champion. And he had awesome feuds with, like, Morocco and Valentine and a bunch of other guys. And then, of course, you know, him and Tom Zeke, you know, were also the Strike Force, you know. And, yeah, you know, he was a jobber for, like, a lot of years. But, I mean, he was still – he was a jobber for a reason because he made the war look as best as he possibly could. If that's
being made the shit champion sounds like some kind of backhanded burial.
Right.
But, I mean, it don't matter. Look at the Hall of Fame we're talking about getting into. It don't matter. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fake.
And Tito did hold championships when they meant something, so, you know.
That's true.
And he had a long run. No one expected him to win the title for them when they gave it to him. And he was kind of like a modern version of Edge where, you know, I don't know if the plan was for him to keep it that long, but he kept it for a long time. And then they gave him the second run when he regained it from Valentine, you know, until he lost it to Savage. I mean, he had an awesome run. I mean, if it wasn't for Savage, I would almost say he was the last great Intercontinental Champion.
There's been some more that were pretty damn good after that. So,
yeah.
But he was one of those guys. I mean, always seen Tito was always in WWF. For, like, forever.
The thing is, I saw him in San Antonio. I saw him in Georgia. Not for, like, long periods of time, but I remember, you know, seeing him. And then, like, of course, for the most part, yeah, he was in the WWF. And, you know, like, as far back as, like, the late 70s, Ryan Putski, you know, they were tag team champions.
Twice. Oh, he was with Rick Martel one time. Sorry.
You'll have the greatest line forearm I've ever seen from somebody. I never saw anybody get up from it.
Yeah.
Right.
The only person that was even close was maybe Terry Taylor, but his was better than Taylor's.
That's because it was a five arm. It's one better than four.
Yeah.
I see.
I thought that was an awesome name for him. It was a five arm. Better than a four arm.
Well,
In 93, he was actually the ECW Heavyweight Champion when they were still the Eastern Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, he was when they first started, like, Snuka and Morocco and guys like that.
Yep. And he ended up forfeiting the champion to Shane Douglas. Hmm. Open door.
Hmm.
How about El Matador? That was really awesome.
God, those.
That was the greatest thing
he had on. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He had some bad gimmicks there around the early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's one of them.
He was one of them.
I guess we'll go ahead and move to, because there's still, like, a lot of other guys that we haven't talked to. But I'll go ahead and I'll let you guys start picking a few guys. So you can pick either past or newer guys, so. I'll go ahead and let Craig go first.
You gonna make me go first?
Yes.
Brian Pillman. He played for Cincinnati for a few years. Let me find
him. Is he on the Suicide Squad? He's on the Suicide Squad. That's right.
Yeah, he was mainly a special teamer. But the thing is, like they would always say that he was a nose tackle. And you look at Brian Pillman, you're like, what the fuck was Brian Pillman a nose tackle? Not realizing that he was a real,
it's a linebacker.
He was a lot huskier and, he was a lot heavier when he played football.
He was a walk-on too, wasn't he?
What's that?
I believe he was a walk-on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he played for the Bengals in 84, Buffalo Bills in 85, and moved over to the Canadian Stampeders. And that's a stupid name. In 1986.
I can't remember how many matches in the 90s out here, Jim Ross. Like, I bet you Boomer Esiason's sitting at home watching this right now.
He always talk about he wants some kind of like a spirit award or something.
Yeah, because wasn't he on like special? He's on Suicide Squad, like I said, special teams, and he got some kind of spirit award every year. From what I always heard on TV, he's like one of the toughest people on that team.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was pretty crazy when he was out there. My first memories of Tillman would be seeing like a video package on Saturday night, and
flying a helicopter.
I don't know if I remember the helicopter one, but I remember him seeing him do like the drop kicks and like all those like high flying moves. And I guess when
I remember the video was
kind of the dynamic dudes and the skyscrapers and that era.
Yeah, I remember song. The videos were set to the music from the Twix commercial. You know where he says, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that. I remember him and Tom Zink were an awesome tag team.
Yeah, they were really good.
They weren't given a chance to be together for too long, but yeah, they were really, really good.
He was on the very first match of the very first Nitro, correct?
Yeah, against Houston Lager. Wasn't a very good match. Not compared to the ones they had in the past, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones they had in the past, man, they were awesome. Those were like, that was some awesome shit.
Yeah, go back and watch the Super Bowl II match they had. That was like one of the best cruiserweight matches I've ever seen.
The stuff I remember most, was obviously when him and Sullivan had their match at the Super Brawl with the strap match, and they quote-unquote broke kayfabe. And
I don't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah,
I didn't know what the hell was going on either. Like, I even said that. I was like, what's going on?
It was Pillman strap. Just fired, and he's out there in the crowd. He's got a banner with a 900 number on it.
It was a strap match, and it was a I Respect You strap match. And basically, partway into the match, Pillman bails out of the ring,
the match only lasted like for a couple. Not even a minute, I don't think. They didn't just, Kevin come out real fast and whip him real fast, and basically he just says,
He was beating the crap out of Pillman with that strap, so.
And, hey, look at it this way. Who knows how he, if he wouldn't have left and stayed as a horseman, history could have been a lot different, because I don't know if Benoit would have been moved over to that feud with Sullivan. And we all know what happened with that cause.
And then after that, he jumped to ECW, and
that was awesome.
One of the greatest angles.
Didn't he want to pull out his dick and piss on something?
Yeah. He was going to piss in the ring, and then a fan, quote unquote, jumped the rail, and he attacked him with a fork. And it was tremendous.
He said, "I'm going to whip my Johnson out and take a piss in the toilet," and then. And Joey, he starts messing with his pants, and Joey stops and put that thing away.
Didn't he also say the N-word and piss off New Jack?
Yeah, he was talking about, he said he was meaning to talk about, the rap group NWA, but he and nobody yelled at me for saying this, and I'm just quoting. He said, So we got these niggers with attitudes back there, and and there's only like one person you're going to be talking about back there in that locker room
right.
at the time. So
he was just fat as crazy in ECW, and then I don't know why, but WWF picked him up after that. I mean, I understand
that,
why. Goodness.
That accident he was in really fucked him up bad.
Yeah.
He couldn't do anything anymore. I mean, he came back and wrestled a little, but it wasn't nothing. It wasn't Flying Brian.
Yeah, no shit. He didn't do hardly did no flying. But he still had, like, some memorable things. I remember, like, when Austin destroyed the ankle when he, I guess, wasn't ready at first. That was awesome. And then I'll never forget the one pay-per-view where they're interviewing Brian in the back, and he's talking shit about Stone Cold, and Stone Cold just happens to walk by the door, and then he's like, wait a minute. And he kind of walks back to look, and he just sneaks up behind Brian all fucking pissed off, and then fucking just beats the shit out of him and gives him a swirly.
Oh, and that tag team that he had was one of the tragedies of pro wrestling right there.
Oh,
they
did. They were awesome.
But you know what? If they hadn't have broken them up when they did, when Hulk Hogan came into the company, they'd have been cast aside anyway. So, you know,
it would have been another vanilla midget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were awesome. And then one of the greatest moments in Raw history from fucking Stone Cold broke into Pillman's house and Pillman pulled out the gun and shit. I mean, I know a lot of people hate that, but that's one of the greatest things ever.
That was pretty awesome. On my computer, I actually have like some of the final phone interviews of Brian Pillman from like the last year of his life in 97, like radio interviews.
Hmm.
He's like all fucked up.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
But that was a shame. And then he died the day of the pay-per-view, didn't he?
Yeah, he died. Yeah. The Hell in a Cell match with Taker and Shawn Michaels.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Shawn Michaels even death from having a 5-star match.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I saw Pillman. I got to see Pillman live while he was in the WWE, and I heard him call the craziest spot I've ever heard in my life when he was wrestling Goldust. Goldust had him in the mount in the corner. He was raining down punches, and Pillman called the spot, "Kiss me." And Goldust planted one on him. It was disturbing.
That reminds me, there was a spot in the, it was like 99. It was, I think it was Val Venus against Ken Shamrock. And, you know, they had Ryan Shamrock out there. And
right.
She got in Ken's face or something, then Ken just blurts out, "Slap me."
Right.
And she just looks across the face. That's like something Shawn Michaels would do. He would just audibly, you know, just yell at a spot.
Clothesline. Usually with Shamrock, too, by the way.
Cool. Now, we'll go ahead and move on, since we only got about maybe 17 more minutes before Blythe Airfare time. Contreras, you want to pick somebody?
I want to talk about one of my favorite wrestlers, the Total Package, Lex Luger.
Are you saying, what are you saying for? Right, are you saying for did he say Canadian
USFL?
Or did he play in the USFL?
USFL. I think he got kicked off the team for having a bad attitude.
Hmm.
What did you say, Craig? Did you say something bad about me talking about Lex Luger?
No, I didn't say anything. I just, of all the guys, Lex Luger, he wasn't the greatest wrestler in the world. I'll leave it at that.
After he left, like, WCW, I mean, he really went down. I guess maybe because he looked so good to me in WCW because he has so many awesome guys to work with.
Sure.
I mean, he's working with Steamboat and Flair and Barry Windham's and guys like that. But I thought he got a bad rap. I didn't think he was that bad. I mean, he looked good.
You know, he was one of those guys that the Aftermags really pushed hard. You know, I knew about Lex Luger because of the Aftermags. You know, when he was down there in Florida, they showed pictures of him. It was like, who in the world is this guy? You know, he's a big, jacked up, blonde guy. And next thing you know, he's in WCW.
or NWA at the time. But
he wanted to be a horseman.
Yeah.
I thought he was. I thought that there were times when he was really good when he was motivated and stuff like that. And I don't know what happened after that. I think he didn't have a love for the wrestling business like some did. It was just like a job to him. So. But still one of my favorites.
I said he actually did play with the Green Bay Packers. He did sign with the Green Bay Packers at one time.
Okay.
Huh. In 84. But then he ended up playing with the Tampa Bay Bandits in the USFL, where he was a teammate with future WCW rival Ron Simmons.
Ron Simmons is one of the guys who they really, really pushed his football career more than anybody. I mean, him and Dr. Death. Him and Dr. I guess we can talk about both of them real quick. And then they played against each other in a bowl game. And I think Dr. Death got the better of them.
Ron Simmons, he might have been the only football player I've heard that became a wrestler that had his jersey retired.
Just for his college, though, right?
Yeah.
Him and Deion Sanders. At the jerseys retired from there.
That's right. He was Burt Reynolds' favorite wrestler. Jim Ross always used to say, because Burt Reynolds went to school there. And if they ever induct him into the Hall of Fame, they should have Burt Reynolds do the induction.
Right, no shit. That'd be fucking awesome. And then all he could do is just come out and just not even say, just come out and just say, damn. And everyone will be happy.
And he's the first black world heavyweight champion, I mean, of a major company that actually had a legit world title.
he actually played for the Cleveland Browns in 81 and then was drafted to the Ottawa Rough Riders. And then 1984 and through 85, he played with the Tampa Bay Bandits, also a USFL team.
Would he also been, like, the first black world tag team champion? Him and Ron Simmons the first? No, that would have been Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson. Yeah.
I always liked him. He reminded me like kind of a African American version of like a Steiner brother. You know, he just go out there and beat the shit out of you.
Right.
He had the best like spine buster I've ever seen in my life. He'd just kill guys with it.
Remember when he was feuding with Ahmed Johnson and those guys hit each other so hard. Oh, gosh.
Well, I remember when he had his Spartacus outfit on or whatever he was wearing when he first came in. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Ron Simmons, let me just veer off real quick and just mention his partner in Doom, Hacksaw Butch Reed. Hacksaw Butch Reed is another guy who was a former football player, and I remember they used to push that. And Butch Reed, in the early 80s, was one badass motherfucker. I mean, he was in Georgia, he was a badass. And then when he went heel in Mid-South, he was like the biggest monster in Mid-South for like a year or two. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah, there were times when, you know, they do the – he got the spot as the guy who got to face – who, you know, would do an angle and he'd like pin Ric Flair and they'd get all the title matches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, Ron Simmons, one gimmick that I thought was tremendous and actually became a lot more popular than I thought it was. I loved when he and Bradshaw became the Acolyte Protection Agency. I thought that was some funny shit.
The APA, man. The one time when they were sitting there playing cards and there was like nothing but a door. It was just like a door and a door frame, and like I can't remember who it was, but they walked around the door and they threw him out, and he had to actually knock on the door and come in. You know,
I remember the first kid where Bradshaw was like, "We're gonna make some money,"
right?
And like then they won a Howard Finkel in a poker game, and so they were having another poker game, and they said, "Well, we don't have we're out of money." He said, "Well, bet the bitch here." He pointed Howard Finkel, and he put Howard Finkel up, you know, in the poker game. Somebody won him.
Oh, gosh.
I remember one of the coolest things was, I don't know if you guys remember this match. This was like, for some reason, Taka Michinoku got a world title shot against Triple H on Raw. And
that was an awesome match.
And, you know, Triple H had Road Dogg and the thing X-Pac with him, and
Taka came out, and then he went back, and he got the APA in his corner. That's like one of the best Raw matches I've ever seen. I was thinking Taka was going to be winning the world title. It was so awesome.
You weren't the only one. That was a tremendous match.
Yeah, that was awesome. And speaking of Bradshaw, Bradshaw also a former football player. And
it's true.
I don't know all his highlights, but I do know that he played for the San Antonio team in the World League and played with Bobby Duncan Jr. here, I think. Yeah, I know that. I know Duncan tried out for the team. I'm sure he made it. But, yeah, they were part
he
of the San
like,
Antonio
He looked
team.
Like a football player.
Yeah. And, you know, so, yeah, he looks like someone who would have fit in at West Texas State.
I miss JBL. I always liked JBL.
Got a great match out of John Cena.
I'd love to see you for him to be on there with Michael Cole as an announcer now. He probably said his ass straight or something.
That would be awesome.
I loved his commentary. He'd bring up just random shit like Bruiser Brody and Stan Hansen and shit like that.
What is that?
My mouth is tripping out on my laptop.
I remember when they brought in, when he was John Hawk and he had the long, long hair when he first came in.
He had Uncle Zippity.
Right. And that was, was that Dutch Mantel?
Yeah,
that's, good grief, quit doing that, Ed.
One of the best clotheslines in the history. One of the stiffest looking clotheslines.
Yeah,
he
was
the shit out of people, that's for sure.
New Blackjacks, remember those guys?
Now, speaking of stiff wrestlers, let's segue off to Vader. He played for the Rams. And
Leon White.
Leon White, yeah. Baby Bull, Leon White. And
when it comes to big men, he's in top five of best big men ever, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do remember watching that very early match of the Baby Bull getting the shit kicked out of him by Bruiser Brody. And he was a Baby Bull for a little bit, and then he took off to Japan, and then he became Big Van Vader and won world titles in Mexico, Japan, Germany, or Europe, and then he won the world title in WCW. So,
yeah, I loved watching that big man work. That match he had with Shawn Michaels, the same one that Brian and I copied almost move for move to do our first match. One of my favorites from SummerSlam.
I love watching him and Sting. Him and Sting had awesome matches.
Oh, yeah. I think we just talked about this a couple weeks ago. We were talking about the Fatal 4-Way match, the one where he got busted open hard way.
Yeah.
Just such a great match. And unfortunately, the last thing we're ever going to know of him is him tripping and falling. Getting out of the ring.
Actually, he did a run-in at the Wrestle Reunion show this past weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah. Apparently, he's lost a lot of weight.
He didn't do a moonsault, did he?
I don't think so.
How about the matches he had with Cactus Jack in WCW?
Oh, God, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, he just beat the shit out of those. Were awesome matches.
Powerbomb when he got that powerbomb on the concrete and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so important that Jesse Ventura, the heel announcer, went over to check on Cactus Jack, see how he's doing, and Drew went to the hospital with him in the ambulance. Hey, that was awesome. But then we got lost in Cleveland, and it kind of killed that whole thing, did.
That the Halloween Texas Death Match was pretty awesome.
The greatest visual of all time. They went, like, they had the set set up in... They had all these tombstones with people's names on them, and Vader and Cactus had knocked Vader down, like below the stage, and all of a sudden Vader's rising back up, and he's coming out, and the tombstone says Vader is the one he's coming out of. He's like a fucking zombie, you know, rising from the dead. Awesome.
The match he had with Flair, I can't remember the date.
Starcade 93.
Starcade 93. Busted up Flair's mouth. Flair's bleeding like crazy. God, that was such a great match. Vader was the man.
Real quick, we're running out of time. We'll probably talk about guys that, you know, were football players that only had, like, did, like one appearance or a couple of appearances.
in pro wrestling. Yeah, we got to talk about we got to talk about the WrestleMania Battle Royal. It had like the fridge, and it had Harvey Martin, the former cowboy, and it had Bruce Fremick, who would also come out on like WCW at different times on Saturday night, always talking about wanting to become a wrestler.
He had he was charismatic, and he was just, whenever he talked, he came off just like a big arrogant asshole. And he dated Missy Hyatt.
And of course, LT from WrestleMania 10
probably had the best match as a full time football player doing something in wrestling. He had by far the best match as anybody.
And then the build before it, you know, I think we just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, we build for it when Bam Bam, you know, shoved him down when he was sitting in the front row, and yeah, it was good stuff. And you know who we totally glossed over? Mondo McMichael, man. Steve.
For the reason,
Mondo.
We don't care about
it. You brought up Luger, I can bring up Mondo.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah, he was horrible.
Thank God he became a horseman and got out of the broadcast booth. They should bring Evolution back and let Michael Cole join and get his ass out of the broadcast booth or something. I don't know.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Okay, bring back DX and he should be in that.
Yeah, Steve McMichael. No good.
Yeah,
he
was horrible.
Pepe with him every week and little... He always dressed Pepe up every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wasn't there a guy in the AWA named Russ Francis that wrestled a little bit? I think he might have been a 49er, maybe.
He was in the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal, as a matter of fact.
That's right,
His dad was a wrestler, I think it was Bill Francis.
Yeah, I remember his dad was a wrestler. I don't remember what his name was, but... Yeah, but that was they did okay in that battle royal. I mean, they were kind of goofy, but they did okay. And when they were doing the build for LT, and they had all the seconds come out, you know, and they had like they played the music, and they had like Ken Norton Jr. and Mongo was actually there.
Mongo was there.
And a bunch of other guys. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And as much as I'll say that Mongo sucks, when he turned, that was still like one of the best heel turns I've ever seen at that Great American Bash.
Okay.
You didn't like that? I thought that was pretty awesome.
It was fine. It was Mongo, though. He was horrible.
Yeah.
Everything about
that
was
match
horrible.
Was great. That match was great.
You're talking the tag match, right?
Yeah, the tag match.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, talk about Kevin Green real quick. I think he could have been a hell of a professional wrestler.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought he was very good in his appearance.
Absolutely. Ed, you got 2 minutes to throw out the plugs, brother.
Everybody, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the StreamWorks show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com.
We apologize for getting cut off early last week. I don't know what the fuck happened. All of a sudden, there was silence.
I don't know. It could have been my crazy mouth. Might have started acting up that day because I just was moving, and all of a sudden, we got cut off. So I don't know if it accidentally clicked on the disconnect thing. But anyway, we at least did all the live time. But anyway, we got to cut the show short a little bit tonight because I actually have a date I have to meet here in a little bit here. So. We're going to end the show. So any last thoughts, Craig?
Enjoy the Super Bowl. It's going to be great. I'm sure Cotrera and my good friend Brian Alvarez won't watch it at all.
Yeah. Cotrera, any last parting words?
No. Hey, football. Okay. Hope the game gets rained out.
It's not going to happen. It's in Indiana.
Who's playing in the halftime?
Madonna. Of all flipping people, Madonna.
Probably be awesome.
It's like the WWF, they're bringing all the relics back from the past.
And that fatty Kelly Clarkson was doing the the national anthem.
Hmm.
Yeah. Who's playing in the, who's playing in this little athletic contest?
The New England Patriots and the New York Giants.
It's a rematch from a few years ago.
And I'm expecting the Pats will win by a touchdown. Just say.
I'm calling a swerve.
Hmm.
Nobody.
I don't know if Katrina would have seen this. I don't know if even you would have seen this, Craig. But did anybody see the Saturday Night Live skit with Jesus and Tim Tebow? Or Tom Tebow, whatever his name is?
Tim Tebow? No, I didn't see that.
Okay. That's actually
not
what I'm asking.
I don't really watch Saturday Night Live that much lately,
but I saw this kid because it made like a lot of press and a lot of Pat Roberts was going crazy and talking about how fucked up it was and all the Christians were going. We're outraged, but it's like one of the funniest skits that they've done in years. But according to Jesus, he told 10 people that that New England, that Tom Brady is God's nephew and that Belichick is the devil. So they're coming at you from both ways.
Who's Tim Tebow?
He's quarterback for the Broncos, and he is a God-fearing man.
Okay, he is actually, if you look at him during a game, he sucks, dude. He absolutely sucks, but somehow they always come back and tie it and take the game to overtime. And then in the last drive, he all of a sudden can't fuck up and they win. And, you know, it's basically it's not him. It's just the fact that he prays so much during the game that Jesus gets tired of it and comes and has to bail him out in the fourth quarter.
Well, are they that fucked up? Because that's cheating.
Yeah.
When you pray.
Well, unfortunately, when they played New England, unfortunately, they were having a Miss USA contest. And according to Jesus on that skit also, he's either at a football game or he's at the Country Music Awards, or he's at a beauty pageant. So he decided to go to the beauty pageant and let 10 people out to get his ass kicked by, like, 40 points.
I got busted at school one time for cheating because I prayed to get a good mark on my test, and they called cheating.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. Did you listen to how stupid I sounded right there? Where's that was
well, you are from the South.
Yes, Tim Tebow, cheating with the Lord.
But we'll go ahead and move it because I need to jump in the shower and shave. Because like I said, I have a hot day today. So. We got to go. We are out of here. God damn, my mouth.
That's a big ass body just scrub now. We better get on it.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see. God damn it. My mouth is making it impossible for me to play the sex music.
I can't stop the show.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mansion shit! Let's go hook him up!
Oh! Hands on her
hands, hands on her, K-Sor!
Enough!
What the? He's broken!
Terry Funk is going crazy! Funk is going crazy!
I just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.